Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I feel happy today. Not depressed, not sad, not anxious, not angry. You feel great too?
I feel great.
We were both singing the famous Youngblood song at the beginning here. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Both of us were. Why is that? And how could they only have had one hit song?
Well, you started out the first note, and it was that recognizable that I just picked up and followed along.
That song is just an exercise in brilliance. The lyrics, the crescendo, the musicianship. Everything about it, it's one of the greatest songs ever written and performed, and it's the only one they had. This is like the 85 Bears winning one Super Bowl. How is that possible with that kind of brilliance?
Is musicianship a word?
Yes, it is. We both agree that song's a miracle.
That's
right?
A wonderful song.
Then how could they only have had one hit?
That's why they're called one-hit wonders.
Yeah, and they are the ultimate one-hit wonder. How could the 85 Bears, with Mike Singletary and Wilbur Marshall and Richard Dent and the Fridge and everybody else, win one Super Bowl, Limits? Isn't that one of the great mysteries of our time?
Yeah, I mean, they had a chance in 86.
They always had a chance, but they only won one. I don't get it. Man, am I pumped on pumpkin spice coffee today, and I didn't even mean to do a play on words there.
You know who else is a one-hit wonder?
I do feel happy. Who?
Dexy's Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen. You ever hear that one?
Yeah, oh, Come on, Eileen, of course.
Well, yeah, yeah. Yes. Dexy's Midnight Runners, remember them?
Every wedding I didn't even know who did that song. That tells you all you need to know. How about this? Don McLean, not the UCLA forward, but the singer, American Pie.
All 9 minutes and change.
I've told this story before. I saw him at Heartwood Acres, and he seemed resentful.
You saw Don McLean at Heartwood Acres?
And he seemed resentful that all of us were only there to hear American Pie. It's like, Don, what else are we here for? Hurry up, get to that, or sing that 30 times
he
in a row.
He probably played it once, and the show was over, the song so long.
Starry, Starry Night might be a little bit underrated. I'll grant him that, Limits. But he's at best a two-hit wonder. Who are some other great one-hit wonders in sports? Who are some one-hit wonders in Pittsburgh sports history?
One of the first to come to mind for me.
Patrick Laleem comes to mind for me.
I think of Jeremy Lin. Lin Sanity. 17 or 20 games
or whatever. Is that a great call? Yes. Patrick Laleem, my first year on the Penguins beat, 1997. Already Molinari and Yager not talking to me. Laleem is a holdout, so it's a big story. I'm in Montreal at the La Mer, this unbelievable ancient hotel that you could feel the hockey history in it. I'm going to cover the Penguins. I honestly can't remember if the game was at the Forum before the Forum got torn down or if it was at the new place, which I forget the name of it, the Bell Center maybe. But there I was in Montreal. And I remember flying in on a Sunday night, a snowy Sunday night, and it was like, is this real? Am I getting paid to do this? And I met Patrick Laleem and his agent in the lobby of the hotel and got an exclusive story with him because that was a big deal, that he was a holdout and he had had that incredible streak for the Penguins, I don't know, a year or two earlier. I don't know why I'm remembering that, but I feel good today. I feel good about our field trip yesterday. We went to Pitt to try and return serves from Olivia Babcock, who is just bursting with positive energy and an unbelievable athlete.
She was awesome. She was awesome just to hang around, like really cool attitude about everything. And she was telling us that we did a really good job.
She loved my Jim Carrey line. We did a little video to start out with her. Ben Tenuta was with us.
This video is going to be
it's going to be great.
Be fun.
And I said, I introduced you. This is City Limits. And he looks like Jim Carrey from Ace Ventura. And she cracked up big time on that one. She liked that. And then she blasted serves at us. Not even close to 100% of what she does in real games. But it was coming in like a Paul Skeens 98-mile-an-hour breaking ball. Like, I expected the speed on the serve. I didn't expect it to be breaking hard to the outside corner. It was unbelievable. How do people return this?
Yeah, I tell you what, Joe. I've played just when I played in high school against guys who went on to play at St. Francis, some that went on to play at other D1 schools.
Humble brag.
Penn State, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I've never tried to return a serve that was that good that Olivia Babcock had.
Did you see the one return I did have?
You had one that you popped it up in the air about, I'd say 10 feet in the air.
That's what you want to do.
Line.
That way Rachel Fairbanks, or whoever happens to be setting for me.
I don't know if Rachel Fairbanks is getting to that one.
What? It went straight in the air. It's right to her. That's what you want on those plays. What did you
have?
It was
playable. I had the one perfect pass, Joe. Perfect pass, or I had it right to the target, and it seemed like everybody was just so surprised. It was the second pass I made, and then I never made another good one.
She was impressed with you. I'll say that. She thought you had some skills.
And I told her that I was disappointed in myself, and I thought I did horrible.
And then we interviewed the coach beforehand for a quick video leading in, and you forgot to say his name. No, neither one of us said his name.
Ben's going to put a graphic down, I think.
I know, but you did.
I know. I didn't say his name.
I know. You just said the Pitt coach.
I thought I did, and then I didn't.
Dan Fisher. He was great. I was just chatting with him. Isn't he an interesting guy?
He's awesome. And he was chatting it up, I think, with some of Ben Tenuta and some of those guys, too, for a little bit.
Yes.
He's done an awesome job transforming that program. I was wearing my 2018 Pitt volleyball shirt that I had from the camp. He didn't seem very interested that I was involved in that camp.
No, he sort of passed that off.
He did, but that's okay.
But I asked him about the X's and O's. Are you like football coaches? Like, how much game planning goes into a volleyball match? And he said that volleyball coaches are very obsessed with these types of things, like scouting especially. Like, okay, that player on the other team, if you do a low serve to the left side, very weak on that. We got to get some low serve, you know, that type of thing. It's unbelievable. And then I went to a high school volleyball match last night.
I as well did.
Seton, my daughter's team against South Park, and it was awesome. It's everything sports is about. We lost, but starting with the anthem, you have both teams lined up on their respective sides. The anthem's playing. Toward the end of the anthem, they're all holding hands, swinging their hand, you know, their arms together.
That's a tradition the Baldwin started. Can't be confirmed, but I think it was.
Another humble brag.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic right from the start. And then it was a very competitive, fun match. Both teams into it. I said hello to the other coach afterward. I didn't like him during the match, but that's because he's intense.
The other coach?
After the match, he was great.
Did he recognize you and say, oh my gosh, you're Joe Starkey from the radio?
No, I introduced myself, and he's a very nice man and a very good coach. We've been competing against South Park athletes for a while in softball and volleyball. Good team, good kids. Great match. I came home feeling good last night. It was a volleyball day. And then the Devontae Adams stuff I became more aware of. Everything happening there. So I feel good today. I'm ready to launch into this. It seems like you are too. Did you want to say something else?
It was the Dig Pink for Breast Cancer Awareness match last night, Joe.
Us too.
That's huge.
Us too. We had
huge
those uniforms.
They gave away a fire pit in the raffle, the gift card basket, a lot of other ones. So that was pretty cool.
I would say the match that I was at, and sounds like you, that's what sports is supposed to be.
Yes, especially local
fun,
high school sports, too.
Yes, intense, competitive, but fun with a degree of sportsmanship and everything else. Just good. It's good for the world, sports like that. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, volleyball does not get as much clout, if that's the correct word.
It's getting there.
But it's starting to. And, you know, you always get a couple texters that say, nobody cares about this volleyball. So, give it 5 years. I mean, you could say the same thing about the WNBA 5 years ago. Caitlin Clark appears. Now they're one of the most popular leagues
Go look at the ratings for the NCAA tournament, the Final Four, and then the fact that you can get 100,000 people in a stadium to watch this stuff. Plus, I think you and I may start a new segment here.
Yes, this is. I'm really excited for this.
Where we're going to go around and compete with athletes, maybe from Pitt. Who knows? Who knows where this goes? But I thought we would call it On the Road with Austin and Joe.
I like it.
Next thing could be you and me against Eli Holstein. 10 pass, you know.
Precision passing.
Precision things we could do. Like, you know, we can't throw a football 60 yards. We can throw it 10.
We could
throw to targets. We could do free throws against the Pitt basketball
teams. Free throws with Jalen Lowe and.
Right.
Biba Cummings, yes.
We could try to hit off the softball pitcher. You can't do that. I think I could.
If the wiffle ball pitcher's throwing, maybe.
At least a bunt.
Softball pitcher, no.
At least a bunt I could do.
I don't think you can bunt in softball, can you?
I don't know.
Can
you button
slap
baseball?
It.
You wouldn't know it by watching the Pirates, would you? All right, let's go. You ready?
Let's do it.
Davante Adams. Why wouldn't you pursue him? Is there anybody out there who has a good reason why the Steelers shouldn't or wouldn't pursue this guy? He's apparently going to be out there and available. And the Steelers basically informed the entire football world what they think of themselves when they pursued Brandon Ayuk. Their self-evaluation is, we're one big-time playmaker short of where we want to be and where we need to be, and we're willing to throw upwards of $30 million at Brandon Ayuk. That's pretty emphatically revealing what your self-evaluation is. And nobody can tell me after four games that that self-evaluation has changed. Has anybody seen the receivers after George Pickens? Me neither. Maybe a little Calvin Austin here, a Scotty Miller cameo there, but basically it's very obvious they could use another big-time playmaker, and make no mistake, Davante Adams is that. This dude was catching passes from broken Jimmy Garoppolo last year and 98-year-old Brian Hoyer. I didn't even remember that. If you would have told me, you know, at 7 o'clock this morning, Brian Hoyer, yeah, he retired in 2008, I wouldn't have blinked an eye. He played last year, and he played for the Raiders. Davante Adams still had like 100 catches, and I forget the numbers, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. He was very, very productive. Big-time plays all over the place. Here it is, 59 first downs, all that. The dude is a star. He has a hamstring injury right now, but that's okay. You know, he'll be back. Would there be issues? Are there problems? Are there complications with pursuing such a guy? Of course there are. Money and ego top the list, but they always do in professional sports. You want guys. Stars have healthy egos. People want to get paid lots of money. It's not just wide receivers in the NFL last year, any year. It's not just wide receivers in the NFL. You had a quarterback here who quit on his team and begged out of town because the going got rough last year. Don't blame receivers for that. So if Davante Adams comes here and suddenly realizes it's not the greatest show on turf and he's not going to catch as many footballs as he wanted, oh well. If George Pickens welcomes in Adams but then realizes, wait a second, now I'm not getting as many targets as I want. Oh, well, you know, that's life. That's everywhere. Money and ego in pro sports. That's why they pay Mike Tomlin the big bucks. Figure it out. Should be no reason not to pursue this guy. His contract situation is a little bit complicated, but here's the bottom line. He's got nothing really guaranteed after this season. So you can renegotiate here. Let me tell you what Bleacher Report said about the Davante Adams contract situation. And I quote here, Limitless Wonder. Though Adams is in the third year of a five-year, $140 million contract and is due $36.25 million in 25 and 26, the final 2 years of his deal are non-guaranteed, those 2 years. Meaning finding a deal for him could be easier. You rework that. You're still going to wind up paying him probably between $25 and $30 million a year for at least the next 2 years. You already said you were willing to do that with Ayuk. When you haven't won a playoff game, now strike that. When you haven't come anywhere close to winning a playoff game in 7 years, which is seven lifetimes in the NFL, you better be willing to change. And one thing I respect about the Steelers is they have made it very obvious they weren't satisfied with the status quo. They've made that very obvious. We don't think what we're doing is enough. We better make some dramatic changes. Blow up the quarterback room. Get rid of the offensive coordinator. Make a big signing on defense. Whether that pans out or not, we'll see. and go after a $30 million receiver and get right to the finish line with him. I respect that. They obviously realize they haven't won a big game in 7 years. 7 years! There's guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame whose primes were way less than that, but yet put together a resume good enough to get them to Canton. It's an endless amount of time in the NFL. Terrell Davis, Patrick Willis, Tony Boselli, Jimmy Johnson, John Madden. He coached for 9 years. Vince Lombardi coached for like 10. This franchise has gone 7 years without coming close, anywhere near winning a playoff game. When they barely scrape in, and it's been the case that they either barely get in or barely get eliminated, when they barely get in, they get destroyed every year in playoff games, usually giving up between 30 and 40 points. To me, that would be a message, one of two things. Either we better find a way to defend better, or we better be able to match people in the scoring game. And I don't give a crap what way the NFL's going this year, where everybody's talking about, oh, low-scoring games and blah, blah, blah. You better be able to score when you need to score. Because eventually, at some point, you're going to see Mahomes or Allen or Burrow or whoever else, and there's going to be at least one game where you better have the capability to put up big numbers. And credit to Omar Khan, Art Rooney, Tomlin, they seem to all realize, man, not just change is needed here, but radical change. So I believe they will pursue Davante Adams, and if not him, maybe somebody else before the November 5th trade deadline. We mentioned this yesterday. We're looking at Miami. They look like a tanking candidate, big time. They have two very enticing receivers in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, both pretty reasonably signed. Read a story this morning about how the Chiefs could be interested in bringing Tyreek Hill back there. The money would be very prohibitive for the Dolphins, actually, to trade him. So you'd have to make a very enticing offer because they're going to have to eat a lot of money if they trade Tyreek Hill. But talk to me again if they're 2-7 or whatever at the trade deadline. So definitely keeping an eye out. But Davante Adams? Hell yes. I can't think of a single reason why you wouldn't go after him. The idea is to separate yourself. The idea is to finally win a big football game again. And the best way to win big games is to have better players than the other guys. He's a separator. He's a transformative player. You put that guy on the field and suddenly defenses are terrorized. Who do we double team? Him or Pickens? Who do we devote more attention to? And if you want to try to attend to both, what does that do to the middle of the field for the likes of Pat Freiermuth? How does that lead to huge advantages in the run game? He's a transformative player in that way. So these next few weeks should be very interesting because there's going to be a lot of competition for Davante Adams, not the least of which will come from his old buddy Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. But limits, I can't think of one reason why you wouldn't pursue Davante Adams. Not one reason. Can you?
He would immediately be a guy who creates more opportunities and more space for George Pickens and would come in and be the best wide receiver on this team. I mean, Davante Adams, people might forget how good he is because he's playing with Gardner Minshew and Who's the other guy?
Broken Jimmy Garoppolo last year.
Yeah, him.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yes, exactly. A very forgettable player. When he was playing with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not saying Justin Fields is Aaron Rodgers, he was a top five guy year after year after year leading the league in touchdowns, receptions, receiving touchdowns, whatever it was. So he's kind of gotten buried a little bit in Vegas. And another thing that Justine Anderson points out is that, of course, at this time of the year, it depends on the money. Because right now, Adams is due about $12-14 million still left on his deal this year, right around that number.
Yeah.
When you get to the trade deadline, it was pointed out by, I think it was Rappaport, that number that Adams is due goes down to $10 million. Guess how much cap room the Steelers have available right now? $10.5 million. It financially just makes sense. And with Omar Khan and the way that he's able to manipulate the cap anyway, you could find ways, especially with an out after this year, where if you want to move on from Devontae Adams, you can, or if you want to sign him back, go right ahead and do
that's
it.
You're right. That's the other thing. Maybe he'd be a rental player. We didn't talk about the price. Schefter put out a second round pick plus additional, you know, things included there. Sign me up for that.
What do you want, a second and Corey Trice?
I don't
hand
care.
We'll hand it away for you.
As long as TJ Watt's not included in the deal, a second round pick plus whatever. You know, it's not going to be something.
Like, do you want a second round pick in Calvin Austin? I'd do that.
Yeah, whatever that might be. That's a secondary part of the deal. The second round pick would be the centerpiece, and I'd do that in a second.
Now, nobody's willing to give up a second round pick at this point, according to the reports. Well, so could that go down to a third and maybe you throw in a fifth in 26?
Or you be the ones to make it the second round pick and get the guy. That's the old Jim Rutherford plan. You know, he used to laugh when people would say, man, he gave up too much, even for people like Derek Brassard. And that didn't turn out. But you know what? I give Rutherford all the credit in the world for stepping to the plate and taking the swing, and he did. And then as he later would explain after some of his deals, how do you think we got the guy? We went the extra mile to make the trade. So when you tell me that nobody's offering a second round pick, if I'm Omar Khan, I'd be the one because I want the player. And it's going to be very competitive to get this player. I wouldn't blink an eye at that.
And if you offer a second round pick, then you would imagine that everything else, because if nobody else is offering, the additional compensation might just go out the window. Because the other part of this to think about is Devontae Adams acting as if he's and completely making the Raiders want to move off of him quicker.
You mean with
the
hamstring situation or with his complaints?
With him just wanting to get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it seems clear, and the reporting is that they're at least listening, right?
And that's the thing that happened with Ayuk, that ultimately he's the one that came back to the franchise and said, no, I want to stay. Like, I'll just take the deal.
Yeah,
where
he felt in some ways like Ayuk was using the Steelers. It did feel like that.
I don't feel like this is the case in the Devontae Adams situation.
No.
He just wants out. And if you watched the documentary, quarterback or wide receiver on Netflix over the last year, at least that I did right before the season started, Devontae Adams was cussing out everything on the sideline,
I mean,
saying, I want out of here. I'm going to get killed out here.
One Bay Area team is a beacon of competence in the NFL, and the other is an absolute joke.
Is the Raiders.
And we don't have to guess which one. Although you just did, and you were correct, limits.
Well, the other is obviously the joke of everything, the Raiders, the brunt of a lot of jokes in the
NFL.
Did
you see where Antonio Pierce, the coach, apparently liked an Instagram post where Adams said he wanted out?
Yep.
Is that real? Did that really happen?
That actually happened.
That is tremendous.
It's just more fuel on the fire.
So
he's going to get moved. The only thing is, where does he go? And is it the Jets or the Steelers? You would think those are the two biggest candidates right now.
You would think, but there may be many, right? I read upwards of 8.
And Dallas,
and again,
I think, is involved.
Yeah. How do you separate? And that might be very enticing to him,
Saints,
by the way.
The Saints, according to Schefter, is involved.
How do you separate yourself? Oh, I know. You make a better offer than the other people. So give up a second round pick. Maybe then it becomes more palatable to trade Russell Wilson, which is something I'm not in favor of. And I'm not saying you could get a second round pick, but you could probably or definitely get some draft capital back, I would think, if someone's desperate enough. Maybe Miami, again, comes into play there, and maybe they'll try to salvage their season if they don't think Tua's coming back, especially. But either way, maybe Miami is tanking at some point and their receivers become available, or maybe they're trying to salvage and they're willing to give up some sort of pick for Russell Wilson.
So Schefter just put out a note. Two teams that are high on Devontae Adams' wish list of places to land, if not at the very top, are the Jets and the Saints. What is the common denominator? Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. Packers, Fresno State, he's played with Carr, he's played with Rodgers, familiarity there.
Okay. So then it becomes even more important and vital to make the best offer. Either you want the guy or you don't. I think we can live without a second-round pick, right?
And Schefter also says, despite any speculation, Kansas City is not an option. Just throwing that one out there.
Why, I wonder? I mean, that
the price tag? Why would they not?
Because Raiders Chiefs.
Rasheed Rice is probably out for the year. I mean, yeah, you're
that's
not
why.
Trade in division.
That's why they're. Well, if the price is right, you would.
If the Chiefs give up a first round pick for Devontae Adams, then yes, they'll trade him in division. But they're not going to give that up.
They're again being talked about with Tyreek Hill and reuniting with him. Can you imagine that? Tyreek Hill going back to the Chiefs.
What wide receivers does Kansas City even have at this point? Justin Watson, South Fayette, shout out the Lions, are the only...
What do you mean?
He's like their best receiver right now.
Worthy's pretty good right
well, yeah,
now.
Yeah, Worthy's pretty good.
But Juju's made some plays. They'll go out and get somebody. They'll be fine. Kelsey actually came back with a good game last week. They're one team I'm not worried about as far as whether they'll be really good or not. I might be worried about them competing for receivers, although it sounds like not Devontae Adams. All right, Limits, let's take calls. Yeah, that would be the way you beat out his preferred choices. The other way would be to make a bigger promise than they would in terms of money.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm also happy because hockey season starts in like a week. I mean, this is incredible. This is like Christmas morning. Everything's happening at once. We're going to have a Rangers-Penguins game. And this month, we're going to have McDavid and Crosby out in Edmonton. That's another reason I'm happy today. Limits on the road with Austin and Joe. The possibilities are endless here. We could go around to high schools for sports challenges in any kind of sport. I once, a million years ago, when I was writing for the Trib, when I was starting out there, mid-90s, went to Fox Chapel and played in a girls' field hockey game.
Really?
Yeah. And was stunned at all the rules and that I couldn't wind up and take slap shots. There's rules like that. I was like...
I can just picture you winding up to take a slap shot at a girls' field hockey player and everybody just being so concerned by the potential outcome.
Believe me, they were tougher than me. It was intense. Point being, the possibilities here are endless. Aren't they?
I think so.
We could have high schools and colleges across Western Pennsylvania inviting you and I to come out for a sports challenge. I think it's a stroke of genius.
I'd love that. And we could do other colleges around the area. We could do precision passing. We could do free throws.
Maybe if somebody's playing golf at a nice country club, one of the high school teams, they would invite us out or
I'm
at least
sure
me out
to
go and compete against their kids. That would be great. But we start with Pitt, and I think next up is an Eli Holstein accuracy challenge. He's been fabulous, but I think I could outdo him from 15 yards and in, and certainly outdo you.
Probably.
Where'd your cockiness go? You showed up yesterday at the Pitt thing thinking you were going to be the best player, and you were.
Yeah, I had one really good pass that I cannot wait to see in Ben Tenuta's video.
That's all going to be up at 93.7thefan.com. In the meantime here, we're talking about Devontae Adams and the Steelers' pursuit of a wide receiver. I just don't see any logical reason why their own self-evaluation, which was, we need another big-time weapon here, would have changed four games into the season. Why would it have changed? Clearly, I would think there'll be a team in on the Adams pursuit. Let's hear what Ian Rapoport had to say about this. Was this last night, Limits?
Yes.
Let's hear him.
He preferred to be traded. So let's get to where we stand. Of course, this has been months and months of speculation. We know plenty of teams called the Raiders trying to trade for Devontae Adams. It was always met with a, nope, not into it. The Raiders are trying to win. They're trying to win now. And, of course, Devontae Adams has wanted, ever since the Raiders very famously traded for him for the Green Bay Packers, he has wanted to be a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. My understanding, and again, this is something I reported with a good friend Garofolo over there, is that yesterday this all changed. This is when Devontae Adams informed the Raiders that he would prefer to be elsewhere. No doubt it has been a tumultuous season for Devontae Adams. Got injured his hamstring late in the week. It was the accidental or whatever like from Antonio Pierce on the Instagram post. I'm sure that did not go over great. And this is where we stand. Devontae Adams still nursing a hamstring, still would prefer to be somewhere else. And there's going to be a legitimate and very real market. And of course, we're going to speculate on potentially where he could go. It starts, but certainly does not end with the New York Jets and his old friend Aaron Rodgers. This is something, until it happens or until we are for sure it doesn't happen, going to be a massive topic in Las Vegas and all over the NFL.
You know, the Antonio Pierce perhaps accidentally liking it. I laugh at that, but I also live in fear of that. Sometimes, I'll give you an example. Sometimes I'm scrolling through X, which I'd really like to quit because I hate it, actually. Although I go to it for news and entertainment from time to time. Well, actually a lot. But sometimes I have my phone in my hand limits and I'm falling asleep. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, did I press something? Did I like something horrible? Because once you do that and everybody gets a hold of it, even if it really was an accident, you're dead.
I have the same fear. Like, legitimately have the same fear.
It could happen to any of us.
Yes.
So whenever somebody says, oh, yeah, I didn't mean to do that, part of me says, okay, you know, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt once. The head coach of a team liking his player's trade request on Twitter, that is incredible.
And I'm sure some people are even searching it out at this point. Well, oh, there's a controversy with Devontae Adams. Is anything going on with his teammates, with his coach? Considering everybody, once you hear, oh, Devontae Adams wants out, the first thing that people go to is Devontae Adams following Justin Fields on Instagram?
For good reason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these things can sometimes be telling. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Here's the context in which all this is happening. The umbrella over it all is that the AFC is wide open. I think more wide open, and I know the Chiefs struggled last year during the regular season, and believe me, I always bet on the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, but the fact of the matter is they're having some major problems there with injuries, some major problems. Then I look around at the rest of the AFC, and I don't see a great team. I don't really see a team to fear. I think Buffalo might have the best player in Josh Allen, but they got problems. They got big problems defensively. They had the best team a few years back when they had all pros dotting their defense. Now they got none. You know, they got problems. They're a team to contend with because they have Josh Allen. Jets. I could see them coming on this year, but nobody trusts the Jets. The Ravens. They're good. They always are. But it's not like they tear through the playoffs every year. They got some issues. I think they may be a lesser defensive team than they were a year ago. Texans are a good team, no doubt. Not a great team. And then the Chiefs. This is wide open. Like, you could picture all kinds of scenarios. You could picture Buffalo upsetting Kansas City in the playoffs. I could. I mean, they've come within 13 seconds 1 year. And maybe within a missed chip shot last year, at least of overtime, of doing it anyway. You may never have to face the Chiefs in a playoff situation. You may face the Ravens. And the Steelers basically own the Ravens lately. Right? And who else? I mean, the AFC is wide open. And I think you give yourself a separator in Devontae Adams if you go out and aggressively pursue him and get him. 412-928-9370. The General with Starkey's Card of the Week coming up. Let's go to the phones, Wonder Twin.
Tony in Crafton says that he is a lifelong Raiders fan and has some Devontae Adams comments.
Good morning, Tony.
Joe, I know as much about the Raiders as anybody in the city of Pittsburgh. Believe me, I went through AGL double hockey sticks growing up as a kid. Believe me.
Congrats.
And how's your Achilles doing? You blew yours out right at the time I blew mine out. My leg has never been the same. And I did it the same way you did it, busting some young dude's butt playing basketball.
You know, my calf muscle has shrunk and has never come back. Other than that, I'm doing well, Tony. What's the crux of your call here?
Yes, the leg is definitely one size bigger than the other now. My calf, too. Okay, when it comes to the Raiders, ever since we traded Carr, that was like basically backstabbing him.
Yeah.
I really don't believe he's hurt. I believe it's easier to trade a guy that's not, you can say hurt, than you can say quit dead on the team. I think he quit on their team when we traded Carr. I really do. And it Pierce, who don't know Pierce is old school? Come on. He played for Colonel Tom Coughlin. The guy fined you 5 minutes before you come to, if you were late early for a meeting. And
good old Coughlin. He was great. So tell me this.
He talks to Tom Coughlin all the time. He says he calls him at least once a week. Believe me, the guy's old school. When he said the guys quit, that's one of the dudes that was out for business decisions. That's one of the dudes that did it, bro. I'll bet a paycheck on the whole
deal. He's still great, right? You watch him every game. Oh, Devontae Adams is great,
isn't
he?
He's like Randy Moss. He's mad because we've had a bunch of bums throwing to him, and he quit on the team. Believe me, where if he goes to a team with a quarterback, he'll be killing it again.
Imagine how good he would have been under Coughlin with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But tell me this. Did Brian Hoyer really play quarterback last year for the Raiders, or was that an apparition?
How about him and Nate Peterman? I never wanted Nate Peterman to see the field. That guy stinks. Oh, is he horrible? And Gruden loved him. And they had him back on the team last year. And somehow I think the guy's still in the league. That guy's an interception walking.
You are tremendous, Tony. Why don't you call once a week on Football Fridays? We'll break down some of the games. This is unbelievable.
Your station most of the time won't take my calls.
I can't imagine why. Where'd you grow up?
Because I talk trash on a lot of yins up there.
Where did you grow up?
In Pittsburgh, in the West End, in Elliott, PA.
Are you
still
a Steeler fan?
I'm a diehard silver and black man. Get the magazine and everything. Ain't a team I like more. The Rooney's got this team buffaloed. That's why I'm not allowed on the radio, because I tell it the way it is. They got this time buffaloed, folks. Don't keep guys that get in trouble. Okay, I can name Ernie Hope.
How old are you, Tony?
I'm old enough to know better.
Do you remember the Steelers-Raiders rivalry of the 70s?
Believe me. I want buried. I got in my will. I'm getting buried in my Raider jacket.
Hopefully not soon.
That's true. And I'll bet you any money on this. My man Adams, he's gone before the Steeler game. He's out the door soon.
Who's your all-time favorite Raider? Mine is probably Clarence Davis.
Probably Jim Otto, because I like this. They were always on. This is how it happened.
You remember Clarence Davis?
Yes. He was a running back. In the sea of hands, baby. And his hands sucked.
Strike that. Tony, my favorite Raider of all time is Lester Hayes. Remember the Stick'Em?
Probably Jim Otto.
Yeah.
We were always on the AFL games because we were one of the better teams. And that's how it happened. I love that double. As a kid, you like goofy stuff. And I loved how his number was 00, like his name.
Were you watching the Heidi game the night Namath made the comeback?
Yes. And the game got switched up by NBC, and that's now why football games are shown in their entirety. There's not a Raider game I hardly ever miss. And rest my buddy, Raider Joe, who died about 10 years ago. Childhood friends, we never miss games together. We would be high out somewhere watching our boys all the time.
Thank you, Tony.
I like the silver and black. Like I said, Kenny Stabler is up there, too. The Snake was a bad dude.
Better than Nate Peterman, I'll say that much. Thank you, Tony.
Joe, you got that right, my brother.
That man was a legend. He reminded me of George in Washington when he called Pump. That was a great call, was it not?
What's with it with Tony's calling the station?
I don't know. That was fantastic. Have we rejected him before?
Not that I'm aware of.
Please don't ever reject him again. I can tell you that much. Wow. That was a tour de Tony, wasn't it? Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 68 today with cloudy skies. Wow. Let's go to the general, shall we? We call him General Patton, Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. contest run every Wednesday through Friday around noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Wonder Twin, do you have a guess as to the card of the week?
I'm going to say it's not going to be Joe Flacco, even though that's the first name that popped into my mind, but maybe.
It popped into my mind, but I'm going to say Devontae Adams. Do you have a guess?
I will say...
Time's a-wasting. Start explaining.
I'll go with Flacco, yes. Former MVP of the Super Bowl.
General, how are you, and what do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me. That Tony's a tough act to follow, though, I'll tell you.
Boy, he was something else, I'll tell you.
Flacco and Devontae Adams are good guesses, but how do you go away from Peter Edward Rose?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You got a 1976 Pete Rose card.
You should have thought of that limit.
As I'm waiting for you guys to come on the air, I look and see that he had 2,547 hits through 1975, and he added another 1,600 after that. So we're going with Pete Rose, the king of memorabilia, too. That's the crossover. He was the first guy to sell massive autographs. He was the first guy. He was the face as cards were ascending in the 80s. Pete Rose was the face of that because he was breaking the all-time hit record at the time. Now, Mano and DiMaggio later eclipsed him because they were Yankees, but Rose is the one that kind of put it on the map.
General, you're a wonderful man. I'm going to come in the store. I think you still have money for me from the little trinkets I sold.
I do, and I'm going to have to put interest in there if you don't get up here soon.
I'll be up there. You know what? I'm going to bring limits up there.
I want to go.
Yeah, let's make that a field trip. In fact, we'll be there next week.
In fact, we'll make it one of those sports challenges at Baseball Card Castle.
Yes!
Ooh! Let's do that. We will do that. We'll be up there next week, General. Thank you.
All right. We'll mark the date. Thank you. See you guys.
There you go. Your chance to win Starkey's Card of the Week comes from going to our website right around noon. Wednesday through Friday, 93.7thefan.com on our contesting page. All right, coming up, top of the hour. I always loved it when Ben would be on the rival station an hour before the coach would address the media every week. It was one of the most amazing, like, juxtapositions in all of sports. The quarterback having the first word before the coach every week. And you know Tomlin loved that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.